she's real fine, my 409.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing on 105.3 The Fan.
Well, I saved my pennies.
Well, good morning to you. Welcome to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing, with your hosts, David Blassingame.
Good morning.
Tammy Pickard.
Hello.
Hello. Lane.
Hello.
And me, Sybil. Our phone number, 877-881-1053. Our Autoflex Leasing fan text is 43733. And we want you to be involved with the show. If you have a question, if you have a comment, this show is all about cars and everything automobile related, and we want your input. You can also call Autoflex if you're in the market for a new or pre-owned vehicle. What are those numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234 out of the area. Always autoflex.com on the World Wide Web. And if you'd like to follow along with some of the stories that we do on the air, or read a lot more stuff about news, or have a really crazy, crazy video to look at, go to Autoflex and like our Facebook page. I've got a great video on a guy buying a motorcycle. You got to see it to believe it.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm going to check that out then.
The only comment was from one of the other people on the Facebook, and they said... What did they say? They said crazy? No, they said something. Anyway.
Nice. Golly,
that was really great. Yeah.
So, great story, Dave.
Big Thanksgiving week. How was y'all's turkey day?
It was good.
Good?
Yeah. I enjoy Thanksgiving every year. We, you know, it's a wonderful time of the year, and you get to eat good food.
And people get to travel in their cars to grandma's house. A lot of people got new vehicles from Autoflex.
Nice.
Right before the holidays. And they do it again before Christmas if they didn't have time before Thanksgiving. But that seems to be a huge, big drive because people are off work probably for the holiday. So they have time to deal with their cars. And then people like to have a new vehicle or a newer vehicle than they had to make those road trips.
Definitely.
And then maybe sometimes they like to show off a little for their family. Friends or family and their new wheels.
Of course.
And then sometimes they're driving a turkey. And it's just time to trade.
Then there's that.
And we're going to talk about some of the greatest turkeys ever made by the automotive business.
I saw an AMC Eagle on my way into work today.
An Eagle?
Down 75, yeah. And it was like
that's
lifted.
A 70-something.
I don't know what it was, but had to actually Google it because I looked at it and I had never seen a car like that before.
Those are, I believe those cars always were a little bit higher off the ground.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
They
cute.
Had more ground clearance.
They were all four-wheel drive.
That's what it was.
Yeah, four-wheel drive
so
station
that's
wagons.
That's why they had like 18-inch ground clearance. They were just odd looking.
It was as tall as an SUV, and it had wood paneling. It was a Woody.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Which brings me to one of my favorite turkeys of all time, made by the same company, the AMC Gremlin.
Yes.
Does everyone, and if you see the story on our Facebook page, there is a picture of a Gremlin, just in case you've never seen one. One of the ugliest cars ever made. Really, really a pure piece of junk. I can remember people telling me that they would use up a water pump about every 5,000 or 6,000 miles.
Oh, boy.
They would have to replace the water pump in it.
Yeah, those are not attractive looking cars.
And those are from the early 70s, so those really should be classics.
No, the early 70s wasn't a good time for cars. It was not.
It was a good time for other things.
Yeah, even the late 70s wasn't a good time for cars. I had one of these. They specifically mentioned in this article the 79 Thunderbird. Mm. And this car had the hideaway headlights. They had the flip-up headlights. So when you turn the headlights on, they would flip up. And when you turn them off, it would look like it was part of the car again. The headlight was hidden.
Yeah.
I had one that left me stranded on the side of the road, not once, not twice, but three times.
Mm.
And it all was the same thing. You'd be driving, and it would just stop. And then it wouldn't start.
That's dangerous.
It was Tywood.
Yeah. and so they had something called an ECM, which was the electric control module. And it would die.
That's an emissions.
And when it
part.
Would die, your whole car would die.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Three of them.
Well, so it took three, though, to finally get you to get rid of it?
No, I was going to get rid of it anyway.
Oh.
After the second one, for sure. But the third one happened before
but
I got rid of it.
But it took him a third one. It took that long to get rid of it.
And thankfully, you didn't wreck into something when it died.
No, you just have to fight it over to the side of the road. You know, no power steering or anything.
Well, Joanna mentioned that she had one and her lights just would shut off as she was going down the highway.
Yeah. I think a lot of that stuff was vacuum driven rather than electronically driven back then. So a vacuum leak could cause all kinds of problems in one of those cars. One of the newer cars mentioned in the article, the Toyota Yaris. It is a subcompact subcompact. The only thing better than the fact that it's too small to do anything with is it has less than 100 horsepower. So it's also not powerful enough to do anything with.
Oh, wow. I know what you could do. You could have put a blade underneath it.
Mm-hmm.
And just drive around and cut
and
grass.
Mow. Yeah. It's about the right size.
Get a second job.
Are they still making those?
Yes,
they sell them here.
They've upgraded them.
Ah,
they do better in other foreign markets where people aren't looking for power. They're just looking for your basic transportation. We are the country that wants big, powerful automobiles to move people around. Yes. And we have the most space for those vehicles. But other countries, if you think about it, Germany, for example, is the size of a smaller state.
Mm-hmm.
And they only have a limited amount of space. So they build these little bitty cars. When I was over there, I was surprised at all the different models I saw that we don't have here, just tiny little mini versions.
Right.
So that car does well other places, just not here.
One of the last swings that the communists got at the United States was something called the Yugo.
Remember?
And it was made in Yugoslavia. It was absolutely the ugliest thing in the world. I had a friend of mine that was working as a leasing manager for a large dealership, and they bought a Yugo franchise. And he called me, and he said, they've made me the sales manager at the Yugo store. And I instantly thought, and this is true, I thought, I wonder who he made mad.
Right.
Because it was death.
Oh,
you could look at that
soul.
Car and tell it was death. You knew it was death. That car only had 55 horsepower. My lawnmower, speaking of lawnmowers, I think has more than that. The only thing good about Hugos was they had back glass defrosters,
mm-hmm.
and that way you could keep your hands warmed when you push them.
Yeah.
Because you had to push them.
Yikes. Mm-mm.
Ugliest car of all time? Possibly the Pontiac Aztec. By the way, if you want to text in, if you've driven a real turkey, if you've had a real turkey, and you want to text in, Autoflex Leasing Fan Text, 43733, please text in and share experiences with us. Maybe you had an Aztec.
Car. Yeah.
Maybe your eyes weren't working well when you went out car shopping.
Walter White had one from Breaking Bad.
Right. Oh, he did.
Mm-hmm. Made the car famous.
He did. You know, it was funny because they looked sort of like one of those little handheld vacuum cleaners that you use?
Yeah. It kind of does the shape.
The dust buster.
Right.
Yes.
There was somebody parked a bright yellow one. Okay, there's something to make it even better.
Mm-hmm.
Paint it speed yellow like a Corvette. And they parked it on this street that had a curve in it. All right, couple things. I digress off of this story for just a moment about parking rules and just sensibility. One thing to consider is don't park right across the street from your neighbor's driveway.
Yes.
Directly in front of your neighbor's driveway, you know, but across. That's very foolish.
Where they can't back out.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or they have to be extremely careful backing out, or maybe if they'd had two glasses of wine, it will back into you.
Or maybe they live across from Mark and they back out. They park. It's a friend Mark.
Yeah,
you know?
He has somebody that always parks his big work truck out there. It's poor planning on your part. Okay, parking in the street, period, is a little bit risky because people can ram into your car. But parking across from a driveway is rather foolish.
And when they park on both sides of the street and then you can only get through one car at a time.
I don't know.
Yeah.
At least stagger it so that they can weave through. So anyway, this Pontiac Aztec would not only park on the street, but he'd park on this curve.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking, he really wants somebody to get rid of this car for him.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was thinking.
That's what he did.
Yeah.
Sure he did. Yeah, he was trying.
It on
he was hoping somebody would hit it.
Would smash it out. Okay.
So the Autoflex Leasing Fan Text has lit up with junk cars, horrible cars. And some of these, you know, you forget about these cars and how really bad they were. How about the 1993 Olds Achieva? The Autoflex Leasing Fan Texture says, worst car ever. I can't really argue with that, except there's a car that comes after that mentioned. Remember the Pacer?
Yeah.
Oh.
I thought those were cool when I was a kid. I wanted one in the worst way. A terrarium.
It was sort of like,
so much glass.
I mean, you could put somebody
burn up in that thing.
You could put somebody in the back. I could tan, you know?
I don't remember the Olds Achieva. I'm having to Google it right now.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
I don't know. Okay. What, I can't even remember the
year. Moving right along past the Aztec, let's go on with the next car they list is the Renault Alliance, the 1983 Renault Alliance. That was a terrible, terrible vehicle. It was
very square.
It was extremely square.
It was French.
And it ate up parts and it broke constantly, as do most French cars. So.
And they thought that maybe the water pump was made of paper mache.
That's a nice French name.
That's how flimsy they were.
Yeah. Right.
Okay, then moving down the list, the Porsche 924, which actually was a Volkswagen that they decided to rebadge as a Porsche so they could sell a Porsche at under $20,000, and a couple of people bought them. They were absolutely terrible. And then the worst car they list in this list, and I don't think it's the worst car, but it was the biggest money loser of all time maybe, and that was the Edsel, and that was Ford's. Recreation, or the car he named after his son, Edsel, that they launched in 1957. Everyone hated the grill in it. They said it had the horse collar grill. It had a grill that looked sort of like a horse collar or a toilet seat.
But apparently it was littered with problems. It didn't have a strong engine and transmission. What was the deal there?
It had a push-button transmission, which was something that no one had ever seen before. It was really innovative. You had a park and a drive and a reverse button, mm-hmm. and that really freaked people out. You know, the car had a lot of really innovative things on it, but the overall look of the car was what killed it mm-hmm. because people just hated the way it looked. It was very different than all the other cars at the time. In fact, it's still very different.
The Edsel. Some other suggestions we're getting on Autoflex Leasing Fan Text. How about a Ford Contour?
Yes, that was an absolutely terrible car.
A Toyota Paseo?
Yes, that would absolutely make the list. Here's an Autoflex Leasing Fan Text. Yesterday at the Parade of Lights, I saw three DeLoreans with Christmas lights. In case you never drove a DeLorean, when sitting in the driver's seat, the only thing you could see out of was the windshield in your window, basically. The windows were so, the low-profile roof on that made the vision so bad you could not see out of the back of the car. There were huge blind spots. And they used hydraulic lifts to hold those doors up, right? Well, after the first winter, the lifts would wear out, and the door would not hold up. Those were heavy doors. And you would have to hold the door open to get out to keep from getting killed or decapitated.
Yikes. I noticed recently with the cold weather, the hydraulics on my back door, the back hatch of my SUV, was having a hard time holding because it was like 20 degrees outside.
Oh, makes a difference. That affected it.
Oh, yeah.
Another quick suggestion is the 1972 Maverick. Another one I'm going to have to Google. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, 72 Maverick. The little Mavericks were a follow-up to the Mustang.
Uh-huh.
You know, the Mustang was introduced in 64, 64 and a half. And the Maverick was going to be the downsized, not quite so sporty. It was really sort of a tinny, horrible little car.
I thought they were cute looking. I remember I liked the Maverick when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. Thought I wanted
horrible
one.
Horrible little car.
Now I know better.
And a Dodge Intrepid also on the worst turkeys of all time. Got to take a quick break. We'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing with David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, Lane, and me, Sybil Summers. Phone number 877-881-1053. Autoflex Leasing fan text is 43733. And if you want to call Autoflex, they're open today. What are the numbers, David?
That's right. Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234, outside the area. Autoflex.com in case you'd like to set up a test drive, apply for a car online, learn about leasing, maybe get a free Black Book appraisal on your trade-in. You can do all of those things at Autoflex.com.
And follow along with all the stories we're talking about. Like which cars are turkeys, you can see pictures of them if you don't know what a Maverick is, like me.
We did have an Autoflex Leasing fan texter text in. I spoke earlier about parking etiquette, driving etiquette,
mm-hmm.
and not you shouldn't park across the right behind a driveway. And sure enough, it said, somebody said their sister backed into the same truck twice in high school when they were parking across from their driveway. You'd think she'd learn, and you would think the person parking their truck across from the driveway would learn, but
nobody learns.
One final note on the Autoflex Leasing fan text for the old cars that weren't really great. My DeLorean flux capacitor kept going out. Thank you, Loco. Okay. You know, the old saying is that politics makes strange bedfellows, and basically what that means is that politicians sometimes don't always do what you would expect them to do because of maybe who their constituents are or where their allegiances have been in the past, and they change. And so this last week, the White House released a statement saying they were looking at reducing the amount of ethanol that is being added to our gasoline and not going with the law that was passed in 2007, which would require more and more ethanol be added to our gasoline. There's some pretty good reasons for this. One, it causes cars to run less efficiently because ethanol does not burn as efficiently as gasoline. So when you add ethanol to gas, you lower the mileage per gallon that you get on the gasoline. Another thing is it's all made from corn in our country. Mm-hmm. And corn is also a food product for us, and they use it for cattle feed. So much of it is now being sold to be added to gasoline that it's made the cost of our food go up and our meat and everything else
right.
go up. So you've got all these things that everyone's looking at, including the EPA. Now, the biggest thing may be that ethanol at more than 10% of gasoline can have a very corrosive effect on engines, especially on older cars, but even on cars that have been produced within the past couple of years. They're not designed to run on a higher concentration of ethanol, because ethanol it's a detergent by nature, alcohol is, but it also has a way of disintegrating the seals in an engine. So the more ethanol, the more chance you have for that kind of damage to the engine. Also, two-cylinder engines like you have in weed eaters or chainsaws, some motorcycles, lawnmowers, they don't do well at all with high concentrations of ethanol. Burns them up. So this last week, the White House and the EPA said they were seriously looking at not moving ahead to make people add more and more ethanol to gasoline. Here's where the strange bedfellow comes in. Senator Debbie Stabenow of Lansing, Michigan. Now, her constituents are the automotive business, and the automotive business does not want more ethanol added to your gasoline, because the automotive business understands that it's going to fry some engines. It's going to screw them up. And they're saying that, you know, from the manufacturer standpoint, we don't want to see more ethanol because of the damage it causes to the engine. Here's the problem with Senator Stabenow. She is the chair of the Senate Agricultural Committee, and that is who all of big agriculture supports. They give her millions of dollars to get reelected every time she runs. So now she's in a position that she has to support big ag, Archer Daniels Midland, and the ethanol people, and not her constituents, the automotive manufacturers, who don't want more ethanol.
Very tricky.
It is. And it was sort of funny to read some of the quotes. Ask if it was a problem that 90% of the vehicles on the nation's roads aren't certified to operate on E15. Stabenow said that can be overcome. We can work through that. There's a way to ease this in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she didn't describe how.
Well, of course not. It's easy to just give people the answer that they want. It's harder to actually do it.
Well, and it's right. The reason is there is no how. And she quotes as a fine example, Brazil. In Brazil, a lot of their cars run on much higher ethanol content than our cars do. They're designed to do it. And Brazil uses sugarcane to make ethanol,
not a
food product, not a main food product. So it's an entirely different argument. But, again, strange bedfellows, because she is standing staunchly behind Big Ag and Archer Daniels Midland against her constituents, the automotive manufacturers, who don't want to see more ethanol in the gasoline. It'll be sort of interesting to see, because here's the other downside, and these environmentalists are starting to realize this now. When you pay farmers a lot more money to grow corn, they start leveling out forest land and planting corn in it.
Right.
So they have destroyed a lot of conservation land and forest land, and as a byproduct, they've helped pollute the water, because now there's tremendous runoff from all these areas where there wasn't before, all in the idea of planting corn, because guess what? That's what we're paying them to do. That's how they make their money, because they sell the corn to the ethanol manufacturer.
A lot of unintended consequences based on these decisions.
Well, I think in 2007, they didn't really know what was going to happen when they kept increasing the ethanol, and I don't think they understood the corrosive effect it would have on the engines. But they did pass the law.
But they
in 2007,
they had to know
mandating
that the farmers were going to start planting that corn everywhere they could. That was definitely not a surprise, right?
We've talked about other alternative fuels too, though, like biodiesel and compressed natural gas. Why isn't that more?
Well, that's coming along too.
Well, here's the thing, and we'll talk more about this later in the show, but biodiesel is an interesting thing, because if it's made and it's controlled very closely, you can add biofuels to diesel, and it tends to work out all right. But the max that you can add right now safely is about 5%. And there are some states, like Illinois, which has mandated that more bio be added to diesel and raise that mixture up to 10% and 90%. Again, the intent being that we have less petroleum being used and more biofuels being used. But some cars don't do well over 5%. Again, the diesels. Mercedes diesel is designed to run on no more than 5% biodiesel.
They're not going to sell any more cars in Illinois because of it.
They stopped selling diesel vehicles in
diesel.
Illinois.
Sorry, they're going to sell Mercedes, just not
right.
the diesels.
Yeah, they've quit selling their because they know it'll sludge the engines up. So it's sort of interesting. Again, you've got governments, state governments in this case, mandating fuel mixtures, and you've got manufacturers saying my car won't run on that.
If you really want to know for sure, it's a good idea, and we're going to talk about this later on, how to make your car last longer, but develop a good relationship with your technician or service department. They'll give you the best advice on what you should be doing with your particular model of car.
Right.
And then, if you really don't want to worry about the long-term effects, just lease your car.
That's right. Best way to do it, give AutoFlex a call, 817-0972-234-1234.
AutoFlex Leasing Fantex, David and Tammy, do you remember the 86, 87 Buick Grand National and GNS? Haven't seen one since the late 80s. Were they a good muscle car? And any idea where one is in good shape? They were a great muscle car. They were sort of a sleeper kind of a deal. Everyone didn't know about them.
They didn't look like the beast that they were.
They were a beast.
Yes.
They were a beast. I have no idea. You'd have to hit the specialty stores. Guys, AutoFlex Leasing Fantex, looking for a good pre-owned Land Rover LR2. Any thoughts? Yeah, call one of the offices. That's what we do, is we find people cars. So if you'll tell them what you want, they'll go out and find it for you, and it's as simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can buy it, or you can flex buy it. You can do whatever you want to do.
When we return, we will give you some tips on how to make your car last 250,000 miles. So stay tuned. It's the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
AutoFlex Lease, oh yeah.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
Welcome back. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing, with David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, Lane, and me, Sybil. Phone number 877-881-1053, AutoFlex Leasing fan text 43733, and you can call AutoFlex. Maybe you're out there thinking of getting a new car before the holidays. The best place to go, AutoFlex Leasing, two locations right here in the Metroplex. What are the numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888. 234-1234 out of the area. As always, you can go to autoflex.com, see all our great pre-owned cars there, do a lot of other cool stuff, like us on Facebook, and read the stories, or go through the stories we're doing now. And again, there's an insane video that you will love
about the motorcycle
on the Facebook. Yeah, guy selling a motorcycle. It says insane under it, because it is.
Go check it out. All right, a lot of people like to make things last, especially when you spend a couple thousand dollars or more on it. So one of the things people do is try to make their cars last as long as they can. Everybody wants to hit that six-figure mark. And now we've got some tips on how you can make it actually last 250,000 miles.
There's a lot of great cars being built out there now. Cars are so much better than they were 10 years ago, 20 years ago, tremendously better than they were 30 or 40 years ago. Cars of the late 60s and 70s were really sort of, they didn't do well. Now, cars are great and they last a long time, but you can do certain things, like you said, Sib, to keep your car running for a quarter of a million miles. One thing, find a really good mechanic and then stick with them. Get to know them, Let them get to know your car. Let them get to do the service work on your car. Ask them what you should be doing, what you shouldn't be doing, and listen to them and take their advice. Now, you'll have to look a while to find a guy maybe that you really like, but there are some great mechanics out there that can really save you a lot of money over the term.
What about the dealership service departments, David?
It can be good there, too. I mean, you just have to be able to trust them, know them. And the other thing is, and we'll talk about this later in the story, but get your services done.
Yeah.
Get your services done.
Since they're working on that particular brand or model of car on a regular basis, it might be, especially on your newer car, because they can definitely keep track of the technical bulletins and the campaigns that come out. Be an easy driver on your car. Drivers who learn to be smooth operators can expect to see their cars last longer. Practice smooth operation of the throttle and progressive application of the brakes. Abrupt starts and stops will strain your entire drive line from the transmission to the suspension. So the people that drive kind of crazy, fast and furious, their car won't last that 250,000 miles without maybe a few more dollars spent on the car. Try driving as if there's an egg between your right foot and the gas pedal. No stomping or drop driving habits like those of a chauffeur with your intent to keep your passengers comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
None of those little neck jerks back and forth.
All right, we had a great Autoflex Leasing fan text asking about Dexos, which is the GM oil, and he said he went to a lube center and they said, you've got to use the Dexos oil or you could void your warranty. Well, here's the deal. Modern oils are different than oils used to be. They're now very lightweight, they improve fuel efficiency, and they are designed to work on engines with just very little tolerance at all, almost no space between the moving parts. So the Dexos oil is an important thing to use on your car, and yes, I would keep using it because I wouldn't want to take a chance on voiding my warranty. The other thing is change your oil at recommended intervals. It doesn't matter if it's 3,000, 7,000, or 10,000. Whatever the manufacturer recommends, follow that. I actually do it a little sooner than that myself, but it doesn't matter. Just at least follow your oil interval recommendations.
Makes a big difference. Park in the shade if you want to keep your car lasting longer as far as the interior and the exterior paint, because ultraviolet light will dull your paint. It rots upholstery and clouds those headlight lenses. Have you ever seen those foggy headlight lenses?
Mm-hmm.
The plastic in a superheated interior dries out. So park your vehicle in a garage or under a carport whenever you can. Seek out shaded parking at work, or at least put a reflective sunshade under your windshield. But don't always park under a tree for protection, because over time that sap and the leaves and other debris will also dull your car's finish. Be sure when there's tree sap and bird poopy, wash it off as soon as you can. Keep some of that Meguiar's to get that bird stuff off your car.
It's a good idea. Cooling systems need to stay cool. I mean, cooling systems are so important now for engines. If your cooling system fails and you're going on the highway, you're driving down the highway, the engine could shell. You can actually lose your engine because your heater hose broke. You need to keep your hoses checked, make sure all the connections are tight, and have them checked regularly because they wear out just like anything else. If you're going to get, by the way, timing belts, get your timing belt changed at the regular interval, whether it be 75,000, 100,000, 125,000, whatever the recommended is, get it changed, because that can kill an engine quick if the timing belt breaks. And when you replace your timing belt, have them go ahead and put a water pump on there. Even if you don't need it, you're going to, and you've already paid for the labor by having the timing belt changed to change out the water pump, so you might as well put a new one on.
You already have everything pulled
out. You've got everything pulled off anyway. All I got to do is bolt up the new pump.
So the majority of the cost of replacing a water pump is labor, is what you're saying?
Well, no, it's just maybe when you change out the chain, you have to do all the same labor, so why not?
Why not?
Yeah.
Be a tactical genius. Now, this is interesting. Combine your short errands into a longer route. Those short singular trips are hard on the car engine because the oil doesn't get hot enough to cook off condensation that forms in the crankcase and exhaust. I thought this was interesting. So you kind of think those little old lady cars are the cars to get, but maybe those little short trips she makes to the grocery store and to church on Sunday aren't so good for that engine. Water then accumulates and accelerates wear. Oil engineers call this the granny cycle, short trips around town that can kill an engine. The granny cycle is brutal on oil, especially in cool weather. If you can't avoid the short trips, take your vehicle out on the highway for 15 or 20 minutes once a week to get it up to operating temperature. Interesting.
You know, the other thing is, let your car warm up for a minute.
Yeah.
Because when you first start your car, everything's cold, especially in really cold weather. All the seals, all the everything, the grease, oil, all of it's cold. Needs to warm up for that car to run efficiently. You don't have to let it warm up forever. It's not like you start it and leave it 10 minutes. 60 seconds is enough. But give it 60 seconds to get a little loose, to get things warmed up before you actually drive away.
I already mentioned keeping it clean, so that's pretty obvious. But buy quality gas. There is a difference between name brand fuel and gas sold by a cut rate discount station. The outlet that always seems to be busy probably has happy customers and is turning over its fuel inventory quickly so it's fresh. It says here, when possible, avoid ethanol blend fuel. It's corrosive and attracts water.
Hard to avoid these days.
Now, this is this information came from service writers and auto technicians certified by the National Institute for Automotive Service Excellence.
Yeah, that's ASE, folks. Here's the thing that really kills me about people, and this is they don't realize it. The interior of your car is damaged by things that you keep on the interior of your car. Now, the first big thing, do you eat and do you drink liquids in your car?
Yes.
If you do, you're going to damage the interior of your car. You're going to spill stuff no matter what. It's going to happen. You're going to get salt down, French fries between the seats. All that's it's got they got oil on them,
mm-hmm.
You know?
Oh.
Yeah. Baby seats, the worst. Baby
the
seats.
Car seats.
Yeah, the car seats. Here's what it does. If you have a leather interior, it permanently deforms the leather under where it sits because it just sits there for years.
Yeah.
Exactly. And what does your kid do? What do you give him? You give him stuff to eat. You give him stuff to chew on. You give him toys to drool on. It gets all around the base of that seat. If you got a cloth seat, it's death. Just death. Here's what to do. Get a piece of heavy plastic. Make it nice looking, make it any way you want to, and put it under that car seat to help prevent the damage that it's doing to the interior of your car. Car seats and then dogs. If you got a dog that gets in the car, he's scratching your interior up. He can't help it. He's got claws.
Mm-hmm.
He's an animal. You got to figure out a way to cover up the interior wherever your dog's going to be to keep it from ruining the interior of your car.
Okay, so manage that interior. Don't ignore the wrench. When a dashboard light shows a wrench that says service engine, it's time for scheduled maintenance. Go in, get it done.
Finally, get your car detailed about once a year. Have them polish it really good. It'll take a lot of the residue stains on your surface out. Keeps the chrome nice and shiny. It gets everything really, really clean and nice and keeps it that way for a long time. Just once a year is enough. Twice a year is what I do, but once a year. Get it detailed, and it'll look better. And then before you sell it, get it detailed again.
Right.
If you're going to sell your own car, detail it, clean it up, get everything out of it, and then put the car for sale.
People always think, well, I don't want to clean it. I'm about to be done with it. Mm-hmm. I just want to be rid of it once and for all. But if you want the maximum money that you're going to get, make it look new.
I did all of that before I sold my own car, brought top dollar. I got, there were some dings in it. I had the interior completely detailed. That mm-hmm. car was in tip-top shape, and I got all the money. The fellow sent an inspector out to look at the car, and he told the fellow he was very impressed with it.
Yay!
So
it's easy to do.
It's the same thing when you sell a house. The realtors tell you, you know, paint the front door, clean it all up,
yeah.
Get rid of all. Oh, take all your personal stuff out of the car.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like they tell you with a house. It's the same thing.
Yep. Easy to do, and it'll get you some more money. Mm-hmm. When we come back, let's talk about the 2014 Chevy pickup. We'll take that for a Saturday morning test drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
This is the Saturday morning test drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
Welcome back. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing with David Blessingame, Tammy Pickard, Lane, and me, Sybil. AutoFlex Leasing fan text 43733. And if you want to call AutoFlex, they're open. What are the phone numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234, out of the area. As always, AutoFlex.com if you want to see our great cars we've got. Right now, you can go to AutoFlex.com, and you can see our Save Money Monday specials. That's where we take all the cars that we're going to send to the auction on Tuesday, and we offer them to the public for one day, Monday. And you can see those cars at AutoFlex.com under specials.
Mm-hmm. Getting lots of AutoFlex Leasing fan texts. In fact, somebody had messaged us earlier about Grand National saying, remember those cars? And then we got somebody with a little feedback for him,
which is nice.
It says for the Grand National Local League, go to www.ispbcforums.net or nationally, turbotruck.com. Oh, I'm sorry, turbobuick.com. turbobuick.com. He says he's an 86 Grand National owner and he loves the show. Thank you.
Or she.
We're not sure.
Yeah, it does say I am. Yep. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact. Okay. Autoflex Leasing Fantext, is my 2011 Texas Edition Silverado worth trading in with 48,000 miles? Condition still like new. Wondering if I should upgrade to the new 14 or better, or am I better off paying for another 2.5 years? Okay. Well, I don't know about your personal situation, but I can tell you this. We drove the 2014 Silverado yesterday, and it's a great truck.
I fell in love with it at the fair.
Mm-hmm.
You know why?
Tell me.
Because of the step in the bumper.
Oh, yeah. Bumper. I remember you guys were talking about that during the show one day.
I get really jazzed about smart, innovative, easy features like that. I was excited when Ford came out with their little stick that they put in this hole that helped you pull yourself up, you know, and then GM topped it with this. They've got a little handhold up on the top of the bed, and then you put your foot in this little foothold, and there's one on each corner. Boom, you're up.
So whether you're right-handed or left-handed and you get in from either side, you can just pull yourself right up. It's so quick and easy.
Perfect.
Love it.
The other thing is my favorite thing. The other thing it has is it's got a tailgate that when you release the tailgate, it comes down slowly. Yeah. It doesn't just drop down.
The viscose clothes.
Slowly rolls down on its own. But it's got a lot of other neat stuff. It reminds me, you know, we reviewed the 2014 Impala a few months ago, and it was a great car. One of the things we really liked was the center stack on that car. And the center stack in the truck, I like it a lot, too.
Very similar.
Yeah, you've got a big 8-inch screen in there. You've got navigation. You've got weather. You've got all kinds of things that you can access right there.
Yeah, 7-day forecast.
Plus a really, really nice navigation unit. And then in front of the driver, the controls are all, the dials are all arranged nicely, makes sense. You also have a digital readout in the center of the in front of the driver, in front of the steering wheel, so you can watch your speed there, or you can watch on the analog. And you've got an analog speedometer and a tachometer that you can look at.
That digital speed, it makes a much bigger impact than your speedometer with the dial.
Definitely.
Yeah, you can see that number. It's clear.
Yep. It's very much like seeing that little police one on the side of the road that tells you.
You're driving this fast?
Yes. It's very similar. Okay, it's a very quiet ride.
It's extremely quiet. And the one we drove had the driver alert package on it.
This was an LTZ crew cab.
Which includes front and rear park assist, lane departure warning, forward collision alert, and safety alert seat. And let me tell you, the seat is so cool. If you start to fade over into the lane to your left, the left side of your seat buzzes at you, the seat part that you're sitting on. If you fade over into the right lane, the right side of your seat buzzes. When you start backing up, if you get too close to something, your whole seat buzzes. It's like sends little shocks to you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's really, really cool.
It's a great idea. Now, it could be annoying after a while.
Well, and here's the thing.
You can turn that off.
Oh, okay.
But if you're using your blinker to change lanes, it doesn't do anything.
Gotcha.
So it also, I mean, I'm telling you, this teaches you how to properly use all the tools in your vehicle. You should use your blinker to change lanes. I could mention that to the car that was cutting across three lanes yesterday while we were test driving this car.
So here's the thing, though. I mean, it's got a lot of really, really good innovation. I thought the seats were extremely comfortable. The back seats all flip up so that they fold up flat against the seat backs in the back, and you've just got a great big storage area. So if you got dogs, it's a great place for dogs.
Mm-hmm. You know? Or tall plants. Let's say you went to the garden center and you bought a bunch of tall plants.
You didn't want to put in the bed.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you don't want to beat them up with the wind.
The truck has numerous tie downs all around the interior of the truck. Mm-hmm. This truck had bed caps already installed on it, had the big chrome wheels, was really good looking, chrome door handles because the LTZ comes with that chrome package. Good driving truck, plenty of power. Had a V8.
Oh, my gosh.
In fact, it's got a V8 that gets 23 on the highway and 16 in the city, combined 19. And their big selling point is they still sell the V8, and Ford and Dodge have gone to the six cylinder.
It also had heated and cooled driver's seat and front passenger seats.
Love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it had a mocha interior. This was a black truck with a chocolate brown interior.
Nice.
Love it. And I love the fact that they've done all of this dark carpet, because that makes complete sense for all vehicles to have a darker carpet so you don't get in and smudge beige carpet,
mm-hmm.
Getting in right off the street. It had the all-weather mats, so they had a deeper trough to hold in water and dirt when you get in there. Let's say you're using this as a work truck, not just your cowboy Cadillac.
And, of course, it had a, because it was the LTZ, it had the sliding back glass, which is electric. It also had adjustable pedals, so you could, if you're shorter or taller,
mm-hmm.
you can adjust the pedals to more easily fit your needs.
Oh, I haven't seen that before.
And
oh,
well, there's a lot of cars
forever,
that have
yeah.
That's
yeah.
cool.
I think Ford was the first one that did that on their Expedition.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway.
That way all the moms, the soccer moms, driving this giant Ford Expedition.
Right.
And they might be petite like you. They
can
bring
reach
those
the
pedals.
Pedals
forward, right?
Exactly. Again, this car had a sunroof, which was a really nice add to it. Overall, I really, really liked the truck. It was mm-hmm. it was a good driving truck. It had a good feel to it. Plenty of power.
Plenty
quiet.
Of the plugs for your iPod, iPhone, iThis, iThat, whatever kind of technology.
There are five USB ports.
Yay!
There are two cigarette kind of plug ports.
Uh-huh.
There's a 110-volt port that you can plug anything into that's like a radio or TV or whatever.
Wow.
Plug it right in there on the console.
That's
this is
so
your
cool.
Camping, hunting, everything
road
mobile.
Trip.
Yes, for sure. And terribly comfortable. I have to say, I was thoroughly impressed. No more regular cab pickup trucks ever.
Well, and for 2014, they've changed the trucks around a little bit. They've got an extended cab truck still, which is not as big as this, but it's got, instead of two little doors that you have to open the front doors to open the back doors, now it has smaller doors that are hinged in the front, just like the front doors.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got a pillar between the front doors and the back doors. Makes it a little more stable. And you can get an in and out of the back without having to open the front door, which is pretty smart. They've also added 6 inches to the bed on the extended cab and on the double cab. So you get a 6 foot bed, basically, a 6 foot six bed rather than a 6 foot bed.
But I still think for resale value, your crew cab is the way to go.
I think so too. Yeah,
always,
always. It's going to make it. It's more than worth the money up front, because you're going to get a lot more money for it at the back
later on,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
for sure. So if you can spend the extra money, that's how you make your decision.
I wonder if that will be on anybody's Christmas list, Santa, this year.
No, not at all.
Well, you know, that's funny. You mentioned
sell
that
the
because
heck out of those trucks.
Things are changing, and you know. In the 50s and the 60s, kids wanted toy cars.
Mm-hmm.
Toy cars were cool because you had muscle cars. You had the 50s sedans with the fins and the glitz and the glamour. Now, you got subcompacts that get really great mileage. What kid wants to drive that around in the floor going,
right.
Or some little hybrid toy car that makes no noise whatsoever.
Exactly. Well, and here's the alternative. He gets online with his buddies, he's got a handheld, and he races a Formula One car against them on a track on the video.
Which so, do you think they want to do?
As a direct result,
a race car.
The kids aren't buying cars. The toy cars aren't what they used to be.
Matchbox is not the hot seller anymore.
There's no more Hot Wheels. And when they do make small cars or tiny, you know, toy cars,
mm-hmm.
they make them look like transforming space aliens. Because at least that still hold some interest for the kids, but the kids don't want cars and trains. And I used to get fire trucks and,
yeah.
you know, Tonka toys. Tonka toys were big. I think Tonka's in big trouble.
Thanks.
Now the cars are all about luxury and convenience, and kids don't get excited about luxury and convenience.
No.
And safety.
And safety, right.
Mommy, I want a safe car for Christmas.
Well, and the final thing is the old cars, the really old cars especially, were all made of metal,
mm-hmm.
right? Now, they're all made of plastic.
Well, that's true.
So a year down the road, they're broken, you know, or they don't run anymore. They don't roll anymore. They don't, you know. So it's funny how things change.
They do.
And kids tend to want to do things that emulate their parents.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what are their parents doing? They're on their iPad.
Right.
You know, it's not like they're out tuning up the car on Sunday. Yeah, they're on their iPad or they're on their iPhone or they're mm-hmm. on, you know, it's all electronic.
That's true. They're not out there turning a wrench, are they?
No.
All right. Well, if you want to get yourself a car, maybe now you should do it, because they might not be around for too much longer. Those toy cars on the Christmas list. Yeah. Yes. If you want a real car, call Autoflex, 817 or 972-234-1234. If we missed your Autoflex Leasing Fan Text, we'll be back next Saturday morning at 9 a.m. for David Blessingame and Tammy Pickard. I'm Sybil Summers. Thank you to Lane. We'll see you guys next weekend. This has been the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.